Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Matthew 25. In verse 24, he who had received one talent, then this is, of course, the parable of the talents, where the master left, in other words, the boss, leaves his employees with a certain amount of money to invest. In verse 24, he says, he who received one talent also came forward saying, Master, so this is a servant who worked for this man. I knew you were a harsh and hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not winnow. So I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is your own. But his master answered him, you wicked and lazy, idle servant. Did you indeed know that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not winnowed? In other words, oh, you knew this, did you? This was a false perception that he had. It was a false accusation. But this was this guy's mindset. Then he said, then you should have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received what was my own with interest. Now, this servant judged his boss and thought that he was right. Now, the other two servants, instead they got to know the boss, and they were not afraid to work with the boss's money. This one judges the boss, and he's absolutely convinced he's right about it. He said to him, boss, I knew you're a dishonest guy. You're a corrupt businessman. That's what he's saying to him. You're a corrupt businessman. And this money that you have, you got it through ill gain. How do we know this? Because he stuck it in the ground. Now, there are some commentaries that say, well, he wanted to make sure that the money was safe so he would give it back to his master. That makes absolutely no sense at all. If you're going to do that, then you're going to hide it somewhere in your house. You're not going to stick it in the ground where somebody can come across it. No, he wanted to separate himself from that money as far as he could because he's judging his boss as being a corrupt businessman. Hey, boss, I know what you're about. You're really the mafia. He thought this guy was corrupt, the money was ill-gotten, he sticks it in the ground because he wants nothing to do with that money, even though that's his boss. He doesn't mind working for him, he just judges him, makes an opinion, he's convinced he's right, and he's 100% wrong. Now, this is a problem. People do this. People come up with these notions and they get into this mindset of, I'm right. That mindset is actually a cognitive distortion. I'm right. In Genesis 3:5, Satan said to Eve, after he challenged her about not eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he says to her, God knows in the day that you eat thereof, your eyes will be open, and you will be as gods, knowing good and evil. You're going to know something, Eve. And then he says in verse 7, the eyes of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now, the word know there is yada. And it means knowledge gained by the empirical senses. This is very powerful knowledge, albeit it's very deceptive. Satan wants you to know according to your empirical senses. In other words, according to what you can see, according to what you can hear, according to the things that you think you have evidence for. Because after all, seeing is believing, right? That's what Satan wants you to think. He wants you to know according to empirical knowledge so that he can have the evidence that you're right. Well, that's what you said. That's what I saw. That's what took place. That's what there is. all this empirical evidence, always being right is a mental fallacy. And if you base it on empirical evidence, then you will not get out of that fallacy. And it's a distortion in which you see your own opinions as being the facts of life. It's tree of knowledge thinking. Go by your empirical senses, develop an opinion, and your opinion is true because your empirical evidence is present. You can see it, you can hear it, you can touch it. The evidence is there. That's the facts. And I'm right because I have the facts. A lot of evil has taken place because I'm right because I have the facts. You said it, you did it. A lot of accusation takes place because of the facts. Hey, Jesus did say, and there were a lot of people who heard him, tear down this temple and I'll rebuild it in 3 days. He did say that. Those words did come out of his mouth. That was a fact. Was it the truth? Now that's another question. We have to be careful that we do not confuse facts with truth. In John 17:17, Jesus does not say, "My word is fact." He says, "My word is truth." The Holy Spirit does not guide us in fact in John 16:13. The Holy Spirit guides us in truth. Yet these people who get this opinion, this mindset of always being right, they're convinced that they are right because they think they have the facts. The problem is that God deals in truth. The second problem is that facts are inconsistent. Facts are not reliable. Well, they're facts. How can they not be reliable? Facts are a subjective interpretation of data based on whatever information you have. The problem is, number one, your information is incomplete. Number two, you don't know what part of your mind is doing the interpreting. 95% of our mind is the unconscious mind, and it's got all kinds of nasty nonsense in there, and it's extremely deceptive. So we may think that empirically we have the facts are deceptive. What we need is truth. Jesus didn't say sanctify them according to the facts. He said sanctify them according to your truth. And so we don't live by facts and we don't worry about whether we're right. A lot of arguments can take place because people think they're right. You know what? Don't worry about if you're right. Don't worry about if you're wrong. Live in truth. You know, the funny thing is that God never worries about what you think you know. God doesn't praise you up for it, and God does not ridicule you for it. God never ridicules you for being wrong. God doesn't worry about it. God doesn't worry about the facts at all. God doesn't worry about circumstances. God doesn't worry about what people are saying, how they're saying, what they're thinking, when they're thinking it, what did they do, when did they do it. It doesn't make any difference to God. He doesn't care. The fact that we care means that we are oriented through a tree of knowledge way of thinking toward being right. And God says, I don't care if you're right. He didn't say sanctify them by being right. He said sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And so we worry about truth. We don't worry about fact. This line of thinking, well, I'm right, causes a lot of problems for us. It's a fallacy. In Romans 1:22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now, if your self-image is attached to being right, to having other people acknowledge the rightness of what you say, to having other people agree with you, to having other people yield to your opinions, then this is going to become a major problem for you. This person becomes unteachable. Because they're already right. How can you teach them? And if you try to teach them, they're going to be offended. Because you're suggesting that they're not right, which means you're attacking their self-image. Their self-worth is established in how people respond to their rightness, to their opinions, to their being right. If your self-worth is established in being right, you have no self-worth. Oh, by the way, your worth is found in your union with Christ. Your worth is not found in yourself at all. So from that respect, no human being actually has any self-worth. In fact, self is worthless. That's why Jesus introduces the cross. He puts death to death, and he brings in life. So if I'm trying to find some self-worth, self-esteem, well, Jesus esteemed his word above everything. Why am I trying to esteem self? But that's what people do. That's normal, but it's wrong. People do it all the time, and they get into all kinds of troubles. They get into all kinds of hang-ups. They get into all kinds of problems. They destroy their relationships on the basis of finding some worth in self, finding something to esteem about self, and you had better esteem that about myself also. It doesn't work that way. That's called sin. Now, when we get into this, we need to find our way out of it. Because professing ourselves to be wise, we become fools. So I say I'm right, and all of a sudden I get into this foolish mindset. All of a sudden I start making these stupid mistakes. There was an article written the other day by a journalist. I believe he was with the New York Times. It was an opinion piece. He considers himself one of the intellectual elites. He went to an Ivy League school, the son of rich parents. He is rich. And he made an interesting point in that, very arrogant and smug, but made an interesting point in that. He said, you know, I can understand how these uneducated people can go against somebody. I'm not going to get into political things, so I'm not going to quite mention all he talked about, but how people can not want some liberal icon and they want some populist figure instead. Because we elites, we who went through the Ivy League colleges, we are the products of people who have money. We have money. Our children are going to go to those same colleges. They're going to have money. We marry people who went to those colleges, who have money, and we keep all this stuff, and we are the elite. But if we are not kind to the little peasants, then I can see how they would turn to a populist. Smug as could be. That man didn't know it. But he is an absolute fool. I find it interesting that people who think they know something generally tend to be very proud. And if a person is proud, they become an absolute fool. They think that self has something to offer. Well, self is now educated and self has money. It's not about your education and it's not about your money. I've met plenty of people who've graduated with honors out of Ivy League schools who were absolute idiots. not knowing how to think for themselves and simply parroting what some professor or some influencer told them. But they have money and they went to the name school. These things are meaningless. God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. The wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. And so what these people are actually saying is, I'm turning to the wisdom of the world and I'm becoming an absolute fool. Don't you think that's admirable? They don't realize they're saying that because they don't realize much of what they're saying. That's why that guy could come out with such an arrogant, pompous mentality, thinking that he was somehow reaching out to the masses who are so far beneath him. Oh, I can understand under certain circumstances, why can't they see it our way? We're the enlightened ones. No, you're a fool. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. That happens every time. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. It's not in an education. Dr. Stevens, his father died when he was 3 years old. He quit school when he was 12 years old. His brothers went to fight World War II. He had to stay home, take care of the farm with his mom. He had a 6th grade education and started colleges all over the world. Got 2 honorary PhDs. But he never graduated high school. He was a wise man. He knew how to hear from God. He knew how to apply the Word of God. But he didn't have any elite education and a lot of money. But he was a very smart man. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. This is always the case. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. Why? Because they're wise in their own eyes. And that makes them foolish. They say, I have the empirical evidence. My opinion is above yours because I went to whatever Ivy League school. That makes no difference. You know what's funny? When I was working on my master's in biology, I had to take a class in microbiology. And there were these two guys there, and I'm not going to mention the name. I wasn't in an elite school. I was in a normal school. And there were these two guys in the class who were from a very highfalutin, very expensive, very famous, world famous school. You'd know it in an instant. And those two guys struggled through that class. It was in a summer course. That school didn't offer microbiology. And so they went to our school for the course and to transfer the credit. They struggled through the whole thing. I don't know what they got as a final grade, but I know it wasn't very good. But their elite status didn't make them any smarter. Their elite school name didn't make them any better. They couldn't keep up with the ones who were the average guys. These things have no difference. If you are young and listening to this, never take your image or your worth or anything like that from anything external. It has nothing to offer for who you are. I'm not saying it can't teach you anything. Yeah, you might learn biology there. You might learn law. You might learn English. But it won't change who you are. If you try to adapt something external into your own identity, frankly, more often than not, you're going to become an idiot. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And then it says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator. Their knowledge or wisdom becomes idolatry because they put it above God. I'm always right. That mindset, everyone who does not see things my way is in error because my opinion becomes the standard. That's idolatry. Anything I do then is justified because I am the standard. Psalm 94:20, the throne of iniquity works that way. This is what Satan said in Isaiah 13:14-13. I am the standard. Not in so many words, but that's what it amounted to. I am the standard. The problem with always being right is that at best, you're only dealing with facts. In the best case scenario. And that is a tree of knowledge proposition, but you never consider John 17:17 truth. The Word of God says, in 1 Corinthians 3:18, let no man deceive himself. You see, this is why they become fools. Professing to be wise, they deceive themselves because they think their tree of knowledge understanding by their empirical senses with their empirical evidence somehow gives them something more than others may have. But they deceive themselves because no wisdom is found apart from God. If any man among you seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool so that he may be wise. Let him be the one who says, I have no wisdom at all. Even though the world may say, he appears wise. The reason why that works and the only place to get wisdom is God. If you turn to God, only then will you find wisdom. But you cannot find wisdom apart from Him. Don't try it. It'll make you a fool.
Well, I have this education.
What education do you have?
Well, I understand journalism.
No disrespect to journalists, but honestly, journalists are not the brightest people in the world, by and large. When I was in school, this was the time when the internet first started coming out. And one of our professors wanted us to learn how to use the internet because it was a source of information. There were about 1 million websites at the time. Kind of shows you how new it was. It seemed like a lot then. It's nothing. And so she asked the media specialist to teach the class how to use the internet. It was very simple. Put in your search term, hit enter, click on whatever choice you want that comes up. It gives you a menu, right? Everybody knows how to do that. And then she asked us, are there any questions? And everybody's looking like, what questions would we have? This couldn't be any more straightforward. Put in your search term, pick your choice. And she marveled at that. And she said, you know, I love teaching math and science people because you guys, you just get it. She says, the worst are the journalists. They could not understand this to save their life. They couldn't understand the simplest thing. You know, the journalists, and this is not against journalists, good journalists have a valuable place in society, but they have to be good journalists, and there's not a whole lot of those anymore. But you know, they don't actually know how to do anything except to write a good sentence. And half of them, from what I'm reading, can't even do that anymore. I don't know why I'm harping on journalists today, but for some reason I am. That's not wisdom. The fact that I have some position doesn't make me wise. The fact that I've been to school does not make me wise. The fact that I know how to do something does not make me wise. That's not wisdom. And if I try to establish my wisdom in anything like that, I become a fool because I don't even understand where wisdom comes from. And yet I hail myself as being somebody oh so wise. You get these people who give their opinions about everything. These actors, everybody wants to know what the opinion of the actor is. You know, I don't care what celebrity supports what politician. You might be a good actor, you might be entertaining, you might be capable of reading really convincingly something somebody else wrote for you. I don't care what your political views are, honestly, because your political views are no more interesting or important than anybody else's. I'll just as soon talk to the janitor as you, and I'll get the same value of political opinion. What do I care what you think? I care what God thinks. I guess in the way things are going today, you see this more and more, where fools are professing to be wise. And if you don't agree with their foolishness, then you're the one who lacks wisdom. Are you honestly so wise that you tell me that a person can change their genetics? Are you honestly so wise that you can tell me that a boy can become a girl or a girl can become a boy? Are you honestly so wise, this is the latest thing, that you tell me that you can change your race? Are you honestly that wise? You're a fool. Any child knows if he or she is a boy or a girl. And yet at the same time, we have a Supreme Court judge who says she can't figure out if she's a woman or what a woman is because she's not a biologist. I don't know. I know a 4-year-old that knows she's a girl. And she's not a biologist either. You see, this is the foolishness of this age. It's a mental fallacy. It's a distortion. It's a mental distortion. I am right, therefore I cannot tell you if you're a boy or a girl. It's entirely up to you. Foolishness. Don't fall for this foolishness. Honestly, don't fall for this foolishness. Because it'll mess you up. In verse 6 of Genesis 3, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband and he ate with her. Here's the thing about subjective thinking, because this is what she was doing. Tree of knowledge produces subjective thinking. If I am empirical in my evaluations, I'm actually subjective. The only objective truth is the Word of God. Anything else is based on a personal interpretation of whatever data I may have. And even if I call it fact, it's still subjectivity. Now, in subjectivity, Eve believed a lie, and she bought into it because it agreed with her sight. And that made it convincing. The subjective mind will always buy the lie. Subjective thinkers always buy into the lie because there's something that agrees with it. Sometimes it's what they can see, sometimes it's how they feel, sometimes it's what they've been told to think in some Ivy League college. But they always buy into a lie because they can find some kind of so-called evidence that's not evidence that agrees with it. And often it's their emotions. And once their emotions agree with their subjectivity, they have all the evidence they need to be convinced that they're right. They're wrong. All these liberals, for example, God bless them, they're dead wrong. How can you say that? They can have their opinion. Oh, they can have their opinion. They're certainly free to have their opinion. They're absolutely free to be wrong. How can I say that? Because their thoughts are not in accordance with the Word of God. And all you have to do to figure that one out is learn how to study the Bible. If your thoughts are not in accordance to the Word of God, you have no wisdom. And there's no way to be right. How to be right? Make your thoughts in accordance with the Word of God. Don't think you know anything. Don't have this, well, I'm right mindset. If you have a, well, I'm right mindset, the only thing you're guaranteed is to not be right. But if your thinking goes in line with the Word of God, you can't be wrong. Because it's truth. Now, don't ever think to yourself, I'm right or wrong, based on somebody else's opinion or whether they agree with you. The Pharisees, who were the leaders of the day, did not agree with Jesus. They threw him in prison and killed him. They trumped up all kinds of false charges and allegations against him. And they thought they had the empirical evidence, hey, he did say he'd tear this temple down and I'll rebuild it in 3 days. If your thoughts agree with truth, your thoughts are wisdom. If your thoughts don't agree with truth, they are not wisdom. Don't ever get hung up on people's opinions, because people's opinions do not determine truth. In 2 Corinthians 10:5, cast down the reasonings and the calculations and considerations and reflections and imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. God is right. The Word of God says, let God be true and every man a liar. God is right. God is right. In the end, I don't care what you think. I don't care if you don't believe in Him. Some people say, I don't know if God's right. I don't even believe in Him. Psalm 14, verse 1, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. But he's very wise in his own eyes. It always amazed me how somebody who has never been to heaven, who has never died, can tell me something about heaven, about God, about the existence of God, when God came down as a man and told me all about it. It's like going to China, coming back and telling you about it, or somebody who's never been there telling you all about it. The Word of God is truth. So bring your thoughts into the obedience of the Word of God. It's simple as that. The Word of God is truth. In John 16:13, the Spirit of truth guides you in all truth, and He announces the things to come. Announcing the things to come does not mean He's giving you future prophecies. Announcing the things to come, actually, if you look at the original language, it means that He gives you insight into the spiritual nature of things. He lets you see what the kingdom is doing. Now, you can be confident in what God gives you. Be confident in the Word of God, but never be confident in yourself. Because you are not truth, and in John 15:5, apart from Him, you can do nothing. But God's Word is truth, and in Him, there is no error. Be confident in the Word of God. Do not be confident in yourself. Another thing you could consider is be confident in God's relationship to you. Some people say, well, I don't know how good my walk is with God to be sure about it. Don't worry about it. Be confident in God's relationship to you. He'll guide you in truth. He'll make sure you get to where you need to go. He'll make sure that you become who you are supposed to become. He'll make sure that all the things that are supposed to happen in your life happen in your life. He's the one who carries out the plan. He's the one who carries out the call. Be confident in God. Don't be confident in yourself. God puts no stock in us. That's why he sent his son. Don't ever see yourself as being right, even if you are. Because right is not the question. Keep yourself in truth, and then it won't matter if you're right, because truth is the issue. That's where you find God. That's where you find your answers. That's where you find your life. That's where you find everything that you need. But looking to your own opinions and saying, well, I'm right, that's not going to do you any favors. You want to be right with God? You want to be right? Be in truth. Amen? If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me so I can have eternal life with you. Amen.